Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal Reed, and our guests this week, Bruno and Tina Pasil. Each week at this time, we visit with an author, an editor, or a publisher from our region, and this week we welcome a writing team. We hope to find out a little bit about their lives, what prompts them to write, and give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. We're very pleased to have Bruno and Tina with us today. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Hey, Gwen.
Bruno and Tina Pasil are the writers behind the trilogy of fantasy novels for young adults. Tina is the eldest of a family of four siblings, and Bruno the youngest. Their family traveled about in their childhood years as Tina was born in Dieppe, New Brunswick, and Bruno 6 years later in Vancouver. Tina studied for her BA at the University of Waterloo and has worked as a secretary and personal assistant in Toronto for many years. She is now retired. Bruno, after graduating from Trent with a degree in history and English, also took his B.Ed. At that institution and taught for 9 years, specializing in classes for the gifted. He's also been a commercial pilot and flying instructor and done blue-collar work. He's currently working in a distribution plant for BMW in Port Hope. You've really been around and done a lot, which I'm sure informs your novels in many ways. Now, you've written 3 related novels together. The trilogy is called The Corridor of Doors, and you recently released the first, Between and Betwixt. Tell us about the story Between and Betwixt. Who are the main characters and what are they like? Is the novel about a quest, and what are the characters looking for?
Okay, in short, Between and Betwixt is about getting Kia and her brother Devin to their grandmother's, except their grandmother lives in another realm.
And it is filled with adventure and a road trip as the dangers that are facing them start to move closer and closer towards them. Then they're required to go across the country from the steps of a burning church, and then it culminates in New York City at Grand Central Station.
Good heavens. So there's a Grand Central Station in the other realm. So it's one sort of an Earth-like realm, but not Earth.
Well, the first...
Or does it go between?
The first book, Between and Betwixt, is definitely earthbound.
Okay.
But because the mission is to get Kia and her brother through the portal to get to their grandmother's world, Grand Central Station actually has a portal that will get them there. They just have to get there.
Right. Whose idea was it to write this story, or these stories?
It was my idea originally, and... We started writing this in the summer of 2005, and we got various ideas from various places. For example, the two of the main characters, McBride and Norbert, their names, for example, I've got from colleagues that I work with at ESCO in Port Hope.
Do they know?
Oh, they do. They do.
So Bruno wrote the first draft, and I wasn't part of this project yet. And I started reading it, started giving him some feedback, comments, and before you knew it, I was part of the writing team.
Well, that's very unusual for people to actually write as a team, because obviously everybody has their own style and their own vision for the story, etc. So tell me a little bit about working together.
Well, let's just say it's just as well we really get along. Our writing styles are very different, so we've had to work with that, but I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
I think you could say that I'm the macro and my sister is the micro, so we kind of put that together and hammer out details. And one of the good things that my sister does is she actually sets parameters where my imagination, she has to curtail.
So you write the first rough draft, and then you come on in and flesh it out a little bit edit a bit?
That's correct, yeah. And then having internet Wi-Fi is fantastic, because oftentimes we're not in the same place. And then at some point, we do get together and then hash it out.
So you began this one in 2005. So it's taken a while. Did you flesh out all 3 at the same time?
Pretty much.
Oh. Good.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. One of the reasons why we like this book, Between and Betwixt, was finished about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we put it aside because we wanted to have a really good idea of where number 2 and number 3 were. So one of the things that I that a lot of readers don't want is to invest a lot of time in a trilogy and then wait years until number two and then finally number three come around. So what we've done is number two is actually in the final stages of editing now, and number three is, although we don't know how it's quite going to end, is about 80% finished.
Oh, that is good, because you're right. I hate waiting for the next one in the series. And the other thing, too, with the trilogy is, although each of the books is or should be standalone, there's a thread that goes through the entire trilogy to make it a trilogy. And I guess you have to have that.
Correct.
You know, you need to know what that is before you finish them all.
And we have tried to do that, where each book stands alone.
Okay. Well, maybe you could read us a little bit from the book and set up a little bit about what it is we're going to hear.
Okay, so I'm going to read an excerpt where Kia relives the car accident that kills her father and leaves her mother unable to cope.
And does this come right at the beginning of the book?
No, it's actually about three quarters of the way through.
Okay, great.
Okay. Like spawning salmon swimming against the current, they fought their way upstream. About a quarter of the way home, they stopped for fuel, cached at an isolated cabin, but there was no time to even stretch their legs before they were on their way again. Kia remained on the bow of the boat, pensively watching the white world disappear. As the boat passed under a large bridge, she was lulled into a trance. Images haunted her thoughts. She recalled another time, another place. Kia tensed, and her heart blipped. Squinting, she turned away from the brilliant sun and looked over at her baby brother, securely fastened in his car seat. They were in the back of a small, silver two-door hatchback, which was traveling on a lonely stretch of road that snaked precariously along a mountainous ridge. Kia's father was driving. Beside him was Kia's beautiful mother, Valerie. Kia's mother glanced back for a moment and smiled at her two children, and Kia saw love and gentleness in her mother's eyes. They reached the crest of the road. The view was incredible. Before them lay a misted valley spanned by the Westmoreland Suspension Bridge and cushioned in soft fog that rolled in from the sea. Farther along, the tops of the bridge towers were visible, giving an illusion that they were moving towards large, towering parapets of a hidden castle suspended in the air. She heard the bump of tires as the car rolled over the bridge plate. Older Kia tensed. She knew what was coming. A blur in the car's rearview mirror caught Kia's attention. A speeding car, only half materialized in the world, as if it were some malignant ghost car stuck between here and somewhere else. Kia watched unblinkingly as it weaved in and out of the unsuspected traffic, accelerating rapidly towards them. She knew its malicious intent. Quickly it closed the distance between them, its tires on slick, wet asphalt, creating its own fog, masking its illusionary presence. The older Kia shouted a warning to her father, but it was futile. He couldn't hear her, couldn't see her. The shadow car struck them. Kia felt it merge with them like a phantom spirit. She gasped and clutched her heart, feeling physical pain as it passed through them and disappeared into the fog. The steering column twisted out of her father's powerful hands. Kia saw the look of surprise on his face. Desperately, he tried to regain control, but his actions were ineffective. The car wobbled and they skidded sideways, careening to the left. They struck the concrete median hard and bounced off it, as if it were nothing but a child's spinning toy. In slow, painful frames, the car spun and rolled over and over and over. Sparks and glass and steel screamed in protest. The battered car came to a stop. All around, everything seemed possessed of a surreal, energetic silence. The quiet was shattered by the sound of thick, heavy rubber being laid down by 18 pounding wheels. A fully loaded gasoline tanker truck sliding over the slick asphalt and heading straight for their small car, which lay twisted and vulnerable on the bridge. Through the shattered windscreen, Kia watched in horror as the big rig rose out of the fog like a steel monster.
And then what? Does she get flattened? That's very vivid. I love all the descriptions of the fog and all the tension that is built up in that piece. That's really cool. Well, thanks very much, and now we'll take a short break.
Thank you.